They're among the most ancient churches in the world, founded according to tradition by the apostles in Egypt, Armenia, Syria, India and Ethiopia in the decades directly following Christ's death and resurrection. Yet they have not been in communion with either the Roman Catholic world or the Eastern Orthodox world since they officially severed ties in the 5th century. Hence, there is very little known about their rich heritage and traditions outside those countries where they are still based. They are, of course, the Oriental Orthodox churches, and here in the Vatican, their representatives recently spent a week working on a crucial joint statement on the nature and constitution of the Church, a document expected to be published soon by the Vatican's Council for Christian Unity, under whose auspices the meeting took place.
We think we have made significant progress in this dialogue, in coming to a mutual understanding about the nature of the Church, about authority in the Church, and the mission of the Church.
Father Mark Sheridan is rector of the Pontifical University of St. Anselm here in Rome and a member of the Mixed Commission for Theological Dialogue with the Oriental Orthodox Churches. During the meeting, he told me more about these ancient Christian communities and the recent steps that have been taken towards reunification.
The Oriental Orthodox churches are the Coptic Orthodox Church, the Syrian Orthodox Church, the Armenian Orthodox Church, and one has to mention that there are two Catholicosets in the Armenian Church, the Catholicoset of all Armenians in Etchmiadzin, and the Catholicoset of Cilicia. And then there is the Church of Ethiopia, the Church of Eritrea, and the Orthodox Church in India, which is the Malankara Syrian Church and the Syrian Orthodox Church in India. And these churches together describe themselves as a family of churches. They share in common the reception of the first three councils of the Church, Nicaea, Constantinople, and Ephesus in 431. And they refer among themselves to each other as sister churches. They are in full communion with one another, but they are not in communion as a group with the Orthodox churches of the Byzantine tradition or with the Roman Catholic Church. Now, these churches conducted a dialogue as a group with the churches of the Byzantine Orthodox tradition back in 1980s and early part of the 1990s. And they reached certain agreements among themselves, but the agreements have never been fully accepted or ratified by all of the churches. In 2003, the Oriental Orthodox churches proposed to the Roman Catholic Church a similar dialogue, and a meeting was held of bishops here in Rome in 2003, at which an agenda was drawn up for the dialogue. And then subsequent to that, each side appointed members to this commission. So each of the Oriental Orthodox churches appointed two members, and then the Roman Catholic Church appointed an equal number of members.
And you've been meeting fairly regularly since then?
We have been meeting each year since then. This is now the sixth meeting of the full group. We met in Cairo in 2004, we met in Rome in 2005, we met in Holy Etchmiadzin in Armenia in 2006, and then we met in Rome again, and then last year we met in Mariat Sadnaya in Syria, and now this is the sixth meeting. And we hope in the course of this meeting to finalize a portion, we call it the first phase of a document on the nature of the Church and authority in the Church and the mission of the Church.
So is this quite a significant breakthrough in your view in this process of reconciliation between the Catholic Church and these ancient churches?
Well, we think we have made significant progress in this dialogue, in coming to a mutual understanding about the nature of the church, about authority in the church, and the mission of the church. In fact, we share a great deal in common in our understanding of the nature of the church, the first three councils. We agree basically about the sacramental structure of the church and about the structure of authority in the church.
You mentioned that these churches already have an agreement with the Byzantine Orthodox world. Is it fair to say that they are closer, as we stand today, much closer to the Orthodox world?
No, I would not say that. The historical separation occurred after the Council of Chalcedon in 451, which was not accepted by these churches. It never became part of its tradition for various reasons. And both the churches of the Byzantine tradition and the Roman Catholic Church, on the other hand, did accept the Council of Chalcedon. So I think it would probably not be correct to say they are closer to the Byzantine Orthodox than to the Roman Catholic Church.
How does this dialogue, though, sit alongside the dialogue with the Orthodox world? In other words, are we likely to see progress made here that will reflect on the dialogue with the Orthodox? Or, on the other hand, does this dialogue complicate the Catholic-Orthodox dialogue?
I don't think they have direct influence on each other, but there may be some indirect influence. The dialogue is not something that you can simply copy from one group to another, because it involves the engagement of the people, of the bishops, of those taking part, the actual members of the commission, and then it involves eventually the reception of what has been done among the various churches. So the process is very important. It's not just a final product, but the process itself, which is the dialogue.
We see, as you say, these theological dialogues that go on at leadership level, but significantly it's important what happens at grassroots level as well. What kind of atmosphere is there within these ancient churches with respect to ecumenical cooperation at grassroots level?
Well, I think there's a great variety, and it would be very difficult to to make generalizations. I think the situation in the various churches is very similar to that in the Catholic Church. And as you mentioned at the beginning, there is very little knowledge of these churches within the Roman Catholic Church. And the same may be true of knowledge of the Roman Catholic Church within these various Oriental Orthodox churches. So there is a very important process of education, of dissemination of basic knowledge that remains to take place in all the churches.
Would you like to see more visibility, and how possibly could this be done in trying to learn more about these traditions in a mutual way?
I think there needs to be a great deal more visibility. And perhaps even the members of the commission need to engage in what we could call kind of popularization. I myself have created a PowerPoint presentation. I gave it last week here in Rome at the Centro Pro Unione, just to basically let people know what this is all about, who takes part, what the goal is, and what we have done so far.
Thanks there to Father Mark Sheridan, Rector of the Pontifical University of St. Anselm. The meeting here in the Vatican at the end of January concluded with a papal audience during which Pope Benedict encouraged the work of the Joint Commission, saying the world needs a visible sign of the mystery of the Trinity and Incarnation manifested through the communion of the churches that make up the body of Christ.
Your sixth meeting has taken important steps precisely in the study of the Church's communion. The very fact that the dialogue has continued over time and is hosted each year by one of the several churches you represent, is itself a sign of hope and encouragement. We need only cast our minds to the Middle East, from where many of you come, to see the true seeds of hope are urgently needed in a world wounded by the tragedy of division, conflict, and immense human suffering. I ask for God's blessings on you all, and on the churches and the peoples you represent.
Pope Benedict's words to the Mixed Commission for Theological Dialogue with the Oriental Orthodox Churches.